This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk, February 3rd, 2015. If this is your first visit with us on Invest Talk, our mission is to help you become a better investor. It's very simple. There's no fast track to riches, no trick or secret lever you can pull or some system that you can use. If there's any kind of formula or special formula, it's this. Follow the rules and don't get distracted by noise. Don't succumb to fear or greed. And that is a lot easier said than done. Much easier said than done. But if you can follow those rules, don't get attracted or don't let fear and greed make your decisions for you. Follow the rules. I'm interested in a broad range of money topics. You may have questions about insurance. I have lots of experience in that field. I may be able to answer your questions on that if you want to. We all know we're nearing tax time, so you may have a question about taxes. I'm not an accountant, but I may be able to point you in the right direction. Of course, we spend much of our time talking about stocks here on Invest Talk, marketable securities. Of all the ways you can invest your money, securities are the most liquid. A marketable security is any equity or debt instrument that is readily saleable. You can sell it and can be converted into cash right away. I'm talking about stocks, bonds, short-term commercial paper, certificates of deposit. They're all considered marketable securities. And of course, real estate is an investment too. It's not very liquid. I mean, it is liquid, but it's not very liquid. You can't just turn it around in a few hours. But marketable securities investors with liquidity of cash and the ability to earn a return when the assets are not being used. You could sell them quickly, whereas property is a little bit harder to sell. Of course, you can buy REITs, real estate investment trusts. That definitely is a marketable security. Kind of replaces your real estate if that's the area you want to be in. So you can be almost any area these days. You can invest almost anywhere. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that fascinating? I mean, not that many years ago, you couldn't trade currencies. You couldn't trade commodities. You didn't have ETFs in those areas. Now you do. And we're going to be talking about ETFs today, popularity of them, one of our talking points. So we're here to talk about whatever money matter is on your mind. So let's hear your question. Would you like to share some information about your portfolio? How is it made up? How did you construct it? What are you hoping to gain from it? Everybody wants to make money. That's not what I'm talking about. Are you interested in a conservative income type portfolio? Are you interested in super speculative stocks? Are you interested in a more balanced approach? How do you know you're there? That's what you've done with your portfolio? You can ask me. I'll tell you what you've done. And of course, do you own oil stocks? Do you own them right now? Should you? Well, our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up this Saturday. We're going to talk about that. Did you see that oil has bounced back the last few days? Above $50 a barrel? You see that? You paying attention? So we got a 3-hour Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming up. That's this Saturday at San Jose Hyatt House. San Jose Hyatt House, February 7th. The seats are, there's a lot of interest in this one. So if you really want to come, make sure you sign up. Please sign up soon if you want to attend. And you can do that by going to investtalk.com. The subject is the upside of lower oil prices. Now, 888-99-CHART is how you reach me during this 1 hour. You can do it anytime you want. That's also, I say anytime, I mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're just live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time. So let's answer this question that came in before we started today.
Yeah, hi. I'm basically just your average Joe out of Orange County. I've been in the mortgage business for about 5 years and was not very good with my money. And I'm looking to be a beginner investor. but I'm not quite sure on where to start. I'm not sure on how much money would your initial beginning investment be when you invest with a small company, whether it's aggressive or conservative, to actually make it worth your while, where it's something you can have turnaround in a matter of a year or so. Just a beginner trying to learn a little bit more about beginning and how much you should use to begin. Thanks.
Okay, first of all, you got to start thinking a little bit differently. It's not the amount that matters. It's the length of time that matters. So when you say I want to invest in about a year or so, you're thinking way too short in a time frame, because stock market doesn't work that way. Stock market works very good over time. Over a short period of time, you get a huge return, or you can lose half your money. You know, it depends on how risky you want to be. And most people don't know how to manage that risk. So my suggestion to you is start off with a comfortable amount of money that you are willing to risk, okay? And think long terms with it, long term meaning 5, 10, 15 years, and probably buy the S&P 500, which is SPY, an ETF. You can start by buying an index fund. And probably a good way to do it is dollar cost average in, put a certain amount in every couple of weeks, buy more and more and more over time. Long-term investment, like a retirement account, like a 401k, you're going to do it forever. That's how you be successful. Now, when you get it 100,000 plus, then you can, and you get more knowledgeable, and if you want to do it yourself, you still can, but then you can start buying individual stocks. Too many people think, well, I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to go out and buy Tesla. I'm going to go out and buy Netflix. I'm going to go out and buy... You don't do it that way. That's not how you're going to make money. Can you make money? Yes. But it's a foolish way to do it, because it's one stock. One stock could go out of business tomorrow, or it can triple tomorrow. Okay, fine. But that's not how you're going to make money. You want to make money consistently without a lot of, I don't mind taking risks, but make money consistently with it, managing that risk over time. That's the way you work it. Stock market is not, I'm just going to buy for a year and then take my money out. No, then don't get in the stock market. That doesn't work that way. It's not that kind of, and again, you can get lucky and pick the right time frame, but that's not how you make money. Everybody's paying attention to where it's going. It's the $2 trillion elephant in the room. ETF trend for 2015. $2 trillion in ETF. Do you realize that like in 2000, 2002, it was a fraction of that size in the ETF business? That's going to be one of our talking points today. The Dow Theory. You've heard me talk about it before. This is the oldest kind of timing model. This is the oldest timing model out there. And right now it's signaling a sell signal. But should we believe it? Well, let's talk about the Dow Theory and what it does. Not all Dow theorists believe they're on sell signal, but most of them do. PIMCO, remember PIMCO? The world's largest bond fund. It still probably is. I'm not sure. It's out in Newport Beach, bond mutual fund family. They lost $11.6 billion in January, so that's how much money people withdrew. That's a good sign. Because in December, they lost $19 billion out of the funds. They've been losing, well, we'll talk about it. We're going to talk about PIMCO and what's going on there. And before you retire, these are my little short list of things you should look at or think about before you retire. Not 6 months before you retire. I mean a year, 2 years, 4 years before you retire. 5 to 10 years, these are things you have to say, okay, this is what I need to decide, what I need to think about, and make decisions based on these things. And I want to talk about, if we get to it, an opinion poll by Norini Rubini. He's one of the smartest guys out there and what he's thinking about QEs. And there was a survey, Colorado has best and Connecticut the worst home price growth in 2014. I thought you might be interested in that. I got more than we'll ever get to, probably. Hopefully we can get to them all. I really like to get to them all. But first, let's take a quick look at the market. The Dow is up 305 points today. NASDAQ up 51. The S&P up 29. Two big days in a row, right? Does that mean we are not in a bear market? Does that mean that we're back in the bull market? Well, if you technically, as I look at a chart, we never broke down to the, below the 200-day moving average. We never broke recent, the last few months, low points. And we were close, but didn't break it. Bounced up from it yesterday and today. So, the trend is sideways right now. We're kind of sideways for, what, 2 months, 2.5 months? Something like that? Sideways, December, January. So we don't have a clear signal which direction the market's taken. We don't know. That's what I think. The Dow theorists, most of them think we're in a downtrend. I don't know if I agree with that yet. And that's what the market did. Be sure to sign up to become an InvestTalk Insider. You can get instant access to helpful investment watch lists and chart lessons. You can open our library of webinars like Doing Dividends Right, 30-minute crash course on dividend investing. It's always free, too, being an InvestTalk Insider. It's free. Sign up on investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART is how to reach me right now. You're with any money topic you may have. And we want to hear your questions on InvestTalk. 888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Gene in North Carolina. How you doing, Gene?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could explain a term that's used in the oil industry. I think it's pronounced contango or contango.
Contango. And it's not just used in the oil industry. Gene, you just probably heard it recently because everybody's talking about oil. It's a situation concerning futures price of commodities. Okay, so let's say to make it simple, it refers to a situation in which the price of the commodity today is lower, or is it higher or lower? Let's see, the price is below the current price. Okay, so the price of today, the price is lower, and the price in the future is higher, so that You would say, well, why would I buy a future when I can buy it today at a lower price? Why would I buy the future of oil when I can buy it today at a lower price? That's abnormal. That's a contango situation. Well, some reasons why you would do it, because you don't want to take possession of it today. It might be you don't want to store it and take possession of it today. But so a contango is nothing more than where the future price of a commodity, the future price of the commodity is higher, because most time when you promise to buy something in the future, it's at a much lower price, or at least lower, because you're guaranteeing somebody that you're going to take possession of it. So why do they talk about it? Because a lot of investors, smart investors, can arbitrage that odd situation. So it's just a matter of a commodity price today is lower than it is 2 years from now, 5 years from now on the futures market.
Hey, okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks for the call. Appreciate you. Shoke, hold on, from Millipedis. We'll talk about oil. Hold on. I'm portfolio manager Steve Peasley. It's a tool you can use anytime. It measures your tolerance for risk. It's a really great tool. There's nothing that's more important in planning your retirement than with a strategy than knowing how much risk you want to take. It's free at investtalk.com.
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, and we thank you for subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like a ready source of good information and perspective, why not try our premium newsletter? Steve writes it personally. You can sign up now on investtalk.com.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Shoke and Millipedis. How you doing, Shoke?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I had a quick question about oil stocks. I'm thinking of getting some positions in oil. Mm-hmm. In particular, I was looking at NE for Noble Energy. I wanted to hear your comments about that.
Okay. NE is Noble Corporation, a Swiss company engaged in offshore contract drilling services for oil and gas. So it's a driller, offshore driller. And their PE looks really cheap at 7. Looks really cheap. The average 5-year PE range is 4 to 32. The reason why I say it looks really cheap, Shoke, because that PE is based on current estimates. And the problem is they're going to make $2.98 this year, but next year they're going to make $2.02. And the stock is a $17, almost $18 stock. So it looks really, really cheap, but if estimates keep going down, it won't look so cheap. Now, having said that, I think it's a pretty darn good buy at this price. Why? Because it's a big company. Big cap, but it is a mid cap. It's $4.5 billion. And earnings, sales are actually improving a little bit. Now, how much they will fall, I don't know. But we saw oil prices, and that's the key. We see oil prices starting to stabilize, Shoke. So all these kind of companies have been beaten up. I mean, this was selling for $35 less than a year ago. Today it's what, $17.97? And that's after it was as low as $15 in December. So it looks like this might be a time to consider it. Now, we're going to be talking about this on our conference this Saturday, about this and all other oil companies. So, we'll be talking a lot more in depth about these kinds of companies, drillers, integrated worldwide companies, Shell Oil, pipeline owners, all those kinds of things. Where should you be? And the question is, do you want to be in the driller part? And I'm a little hesitant about being in the driller space, offshore drilling, simply because we have a supply glut right now. And I'm not sure if we're done with the softness in oil prices. But this is a good place to buy it. If you're patient,
cool. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Shoke. If you're patient, you'll make money. But I don't know if this is the bottom of the price. But it looks like the last couple of months, this is where it's been, it's bouncing from. So I think you're okay. Let's go to Art, Menlo Park. How you doing, Art?
How you doing, Steve? I just wanted to, I was thinking about buying a little bit of the VMW, and put it in my IRAs, because I noticed it dropped down to some support, and then today it just bounced up. Is it a good buy at this point?
Okay, this is VMware, everybody. It provides virtualization software, enabling organizations to run multiple operating systems on a single computer. And it's not cheap, but it's at the lower end of its PE range, which is always good. And earnings are still rising. They're not falling. Sales growth are pretty strong at 15-16% per quarter, every quarter, every quarter. And it has fallen from about $104 in August to about $75 just a few days ago. Today it's at 80, bounced up the last two or three days. And this could be where it looks like it's trying to find lots of support, right around $75 to $80 in this range. So if you're asked, it's going to make $4.58 next year. If you're asking me this is a good price, I'm going to have to say I think it is.
Yeah, I was thinking about trying to get some that are in the 77, 78 range.
Yeah.
But I was going to wait to see if it would pull back a little bit.
Yeah, it might do that. I think that's a good strategy. And it looks like, because it pulled down to that $76 in December, and then another a few days ago, so about almost 75, 60 or so. So that's between 75 and 80 bucks is where you want to buy it. And it could break below that, so that's a possibility. But that's only if we really go into recession or something, in my opinion, then it would break below that. Art, appreciate the call. VMW is the symbol of VMware, everybody. VMW. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I have a number of subjects I want to discuss. One being ETFs. Are ETFs where you need to be? ETFs have grown from a few hundred billion dollars to a $2 trillion business. And what you're seeing is you're seeing the mutual fund industry being eaten up by the ETF industry. Now, make sure you understand, the mutual fund industry is still a lot bigger than ETFs. I mean, 8 or 9 times bigger. And why are the ETFs so popular? Because they're cheaper. Now, the only area the ETFs haven't really taken off is managed ETFs. Most of them are indexes or tracking the sector, which is probably a good thing. ETFs, I think I like them. I use them. I think you should start using them. Don't mean you don't have any mutual funds, but consider ETFs if you're indexing. Do you know what a portfolio turnover is? It could be costing you big bucks. Coming up in the next half hour on InvestTalk 101. Question. It's going to be a question. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach us right now on InvestTalk. InvestTalk is a two-way conversation. But if you have a question between programs, you can still call and ask. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Doug, Seal Beach. I listen to your podcast all the time. Was looking for your recommendation on Boeing, where you see them, and wondering if they're a buy opportunity and where you see them heading beyond that. Thank you.
Boeing Corporation, everybody knows who they are. They are one of two worldwide commercial aircraft maker, the other one being Airbus out of Europe. And Boeing's a lot better company than that. I wouldn't even consider Airbus. It manufactures commercial and military aircraft, missiles, information communication system. It is a $105 billion company. It's really, really big. It's a blue-chip company. Now, you don't buy the big blue chip companies after they spiked up. And this one spiked up from 135 to 147 in the last 3 or 4 or 5 days because of earnings. It was $120 2 months ago, and then again, and then back in October, then again back in August, $120. I like the company as far as being, I'm not big on airline companies, but as far as being a big blue chip stock that you can own forever, this is one of them. And based on next year's earnings of $9.24, their PE is right around 16. Today, the PE is 23. And so with a PE of 16, which is just a little bit above market PE, I kind of like it. It's not growing very fast. It will never grow very fast, 3%, 5%, maybe 8% in sales. It just can't, okay? But it's a fairly reasonable price for a big blue chip. But you want to wait till it pulls back. It will pull back at some point. I just don't know when. And you buy it when it pulls back. That would be ideal, would be a buy at around $120, $125. That's where it's gone 3 or 4 times last year. Maybe they'll do it again this year. That would be ideal. Buy it then. Your dividend yield will be higher and you'll get it at a decent price. BA is a symbol, by the way. BA. The Dow Theory. The Dow Theory says, this is kind of a timing model. It's been around, the longest one, the oldest one out there. Okay, it's supposed to be, according to the quote-unquote experts, flashing a sell signal for the market. But the market's heading downward. It wouldn't feel like it being up 305 points today, but that's what it said. Okay, this is where they're reading. It made a top in December, okay? When the Dow Theory goes, if the transports and the Dow Industrials top and then have a significant drop. Now, that's the trick. What's a significant drop? Kind of nebulous, isn't it? Well, according to the Dow theorists, we had a significant drop in mid-January. And then, after it fails to recover and goes back down below the most recent bottom when it dropped, it had a significant drop, and drops again below that significant drop, that's a sell signal. And we had the failure in January, and the Dow Theory says, well, this would now have a trend change and it should be down. That's what they say. That's not, this is my problem with buying into it right now. I don't think it was a significant drop. What, 3-4%? That's not a significant drop, I don't think. I think a significant drop is at least 10. But, you know, who am I to argue? Now, not all Dow theorists think it was a significant drop, okay? But most do. So they're calling for a bear market. I don't know. I think it's premature. PIMCO, you know who PIMCO is. They are were the premier bond fund manager. They've had a lot of problems. I want to talk about the redemptions they've been faced with and why. Time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. Let's quiz you first. What could be draining money away from your portfolio in the forms of fees? Okay, without you even noticing it. You wouldn't even see it. And it is in the mutual fund that you own. I'll have the answer coming up next.
You've heard Steve talk about the 401k solution. It's a way to save your company time and money when it comes to administering your 401k plan. And it improves the quality of choices for employees. To find out more, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Investments tab.
And now our InvestTalk 101 question, what could be draining money away from your portfolio in the form of fees? And we're talking about the term that you should get to know more about, and that's portfolio turnover. Now, Investopedia defined it as a measure of how frequently assets within a fund are bought and sold by the managers. Portfolio turnover is calculated by taking either the total amount of new securities purchased and the amount of securities sold. So if you bought 100 securities in 1 year and sold 100 securities, would that be 100% turnover? You saw, bought and sold. See, that's how you determine portfolio. Why is that? Why would every mutual fund has a management fee inside of it, right? And so does every ETF, by the way. They all have management fees. But if a mutual fund has high turnover, 200-400%, every buy and sell that they do, there is a transaction cost that you don't see. There is, even though it's small, but the more they have turnovers, hundreds of percent turnovers, and that's not uncommon, by the way. It's not uncommon. Then you're paying more and more. That comes out of the net asset value of that fund, so it's out of your pocket every time. Now, maybe some funds you want to do that. I'm not suggesting it's a bad thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing if the overall net profit is doing very well and the manager is doing a really good job. It's just far and few between that is true. Far and few between. So just pay attention to portfolio turnover and compare that with a peer group of returns for the same kind of fund. Why would you pick one that's turning over really fast and not doing better than its peers? You wouldn't. Anyways, that's Invest Talk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, please get through to us at 888-99-CHART. You can also send me a note that will come directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com. That's with two T's, InvestTalk.com. Or at InvestTalk on Twitter, @InvestTalk on Twitter. And if you want to hear this program again, or refer to someone else, well, you can. We have the past 10 Invest Talks archived for you.
Annuities, asset allocation, reading stock market trends, building a truly balanced portfolio. If it's important to you and you want to know more about it, we're here for you. 888-99-CHART.
Chart. We're going to talk to Tony in Corpertino. How you doing, Tony?
Yeah, hi, Steve. Hey, thanks for your program.
Thank you.
Not really for me, but for a younger person who's like 30 or 40 years old, what is wrong with a strategy of like dollar cost averaging into the S&P 500 like every month or every other month for like 20 or 30 years?
That's an excellent way to invest in the stock market. There is no downside to that, in my personal opinion. I think a young person should do that. Now, Tony, this is the problem I have with most people. That's what they should do, dollar cost average. When the market collapses, keep dollar cost averaging. But they don't, Tony. Study after study after study has shown that people don't invest when the market collapses. They stop. And then study after study shows them to start back up after the market recovered. And that's a recipe for losing money. But if they did it, if they could just ignore it and just continue doing it 20, 30 years, they'll be far ahead of the game. And they don't have to hire people like me. They don't have to buy a mutual fund. They can do it, buy an ETF, the S&P 500. The cheapest one, or go to Vanguard because they have the cheapest funds, and buy a mutual fund index. And I wish they would do it, Tony. I really do.
Okay, because there is a symbol called the IVV, which you can actually get for free each time.
IVV, that's an ETF, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's an ETF on the S&P 500.
Yeah.
But there's no charge for it when you buy.
You mean there's no transaction fee? In other words, you buy
it. No transaction fee.
But there's always...
Yeah, no transaction.
Yeah, every one of these, every ETF, every mutual fund has an annual fee that they charge. ETFs are usually cheaper than mutual funds, but they do have an internal fee that does affect you. But it is. It's iShares Core S&P 500, that IVV. Okay. I'll do that.
All right.
Thanks, Tony. I appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Now, problem is that also another problem, besides people can't do it, but there's a point where you get older and older and maybe you should reduce your risk than being exposed to the S&P 500. So risk management comes into play. But if you do it for 20, 30 years, it'll be fine. You'll be fine. We're here live 4 to 5 Pacific time each day. If you're listening at the time, you can talk to us live, 888-99-CHART. If you're not, you still can call. It's a 24-hour listener line.
Gilberto of San Mateo, a podcast listener. Hi, Steve or Austin. I wonder about the Whirlpool Corporation. The symbol is WHR. I would like to know the entry level. Thank you so much.
WHR, that is Whirlpool Corporation, a very blue chip $15 billion company, makes washers and dryers, so refrigerators, freezers, dishwashers, that kind of thing, and other household appliances. So you have to think of these items are what we call durable goods, long term, they last more than 3 years. It's a durable goods company that sells the more expensive items. Now, Whirlpool had an earnings growth of this year 11%, then next year 30%, whereas sales growth is pretty anemic at 1 to 3% the last 4 quarters or so. The stock has spiked up from $150 back in October to $201 today, and the PE today is 19. Now, it's going to make $14.39 next year, which is a very good return. I mean, very good earnings growth, a lot better than the sales growth. That's a 30% increase. And you have to ask yourself, why is it that high? That concerns me. They did buy a 51% interest in a Chinese company, appliance maker. I'm curious as to why their growth is earnings is so high versus their growth in sales. So I suspect they might have sold a division or something to make that kind of number. I would not buy it here. I would wait for a pullback of some kind. You're chasing performance. It's gone up very high, and it only pays 1.5% dividend. So for a big blue chip stock, I'd want more dividend yield for that. And so I think it's a little pricey personally at this point, even though it's not, remember, it's a big blue chip cyclical company. Cyclical meaning it's attached to the economic cycle. When the economy is doing well, they'll do better. When a recession hits, they get crushed. That's usually what happens. Back in 2008, in 2007, they made $8.10 a share. In 2008, $5.01 a share. See, so that's a huge drop. And ever since then, it's been going up, but then it had a huge drop in 2011. So something's up. I want to know why all of a sudden it had a big increase this month, this year, next year, over this year, 2014 versus 2015. before I would consider or recommend this company, I'd have to understand what that is all about. And I'm not sure. I think it's pricey. I'd wait for a pullback. Whirlpool, WHR, everybody. Okay, PIMCO withdrawal rate. PIMCO is the world's largest bond fund manager. I remember Bill Gross worked there, and they fired him, and it was his company that he started. Okay, because the bad performance. For 2 years, they've underperformed their peer group, 2 years straight. And they used to be always overperforming. But they're still $1.68 trillion fund. Last month, for January, $11.6 billion. And the month before, $19.4 billion were withdrawn from the fund, people cashing in. And January was 21 months in a row of money being pulled out. Now, you would think that that would be detrimental to bond funds because PIMCO is nothing but a bond fund manager. And they've taken these billions of dollars out. That means they have to liquidate these bond funds to give these people their money. But the problem is bond fund demand, these people are just leaving PIMCO. They're putting it right back in with somebody else. Or there's more buyers coming into the market than selling. So I thought that was interesting. And they have trailed their peer group for the last 2 years. This is why people are redeeming. Not just because Bill Gross is leaving or left. It's because it hasn't been doing so well. So their peer group, remember, their peer group is up. And so you go from the best to the worst, I guess. I don't know. Maybe back to the best. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. If you're looking for a money management solution, please take a look at our balanced income portfolio. It controls risks. Steady yield for the risk averse. From our registered investment advisor firm, KPP Financial, we provide that stuff. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com.
Do you have a question that you'd like to ask directly to Steve or Justin? Just go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin, and they will get back to you. And thanks again for subscribing to our podcast.
Okay, we have time for at least one more call, so let's see if we can answer this question from Don in San Francisco.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a question in regards to stock symbol HURN, and I'd like to know what you think about the stock and what the value you have on it, and if I should keep it. I currently have a few hundred shares, and like to know if I should sell it, hold on, what your opinion of this HURN is. Thank you. Love your show.
Huron Consulting Group, it's out of Chicago, provides health and education, legal, financial, and corporate consulting services to various industries. It's a $1.7 billion company. It's growing. In the last quarter, 13% increase. The quarter before that, 22%. The quarter before that, 28%. Before that, 17% sales growth. Earnings are going to be up 15% for 2014, and then another 11% for 2015. And the stock is quite close to its 52-week high. It looks like the last 3-4 days, it's struggling. It should not be. Remember, the market is up really big the last 2 days, and this stock was up 17 cents to $75.30 today, but was down yesterday. So that kind of concerns me. When the rest of the market is moving up, it's not. Current PE is 20, so it's not cheap. I think, if anything, you would take some profits off the table on this stock. You know, unless you're going to hold it for a long term, then you're okay, but the 5-year PE range is 10 to 23, and it's at 20 right now. So what about next year? It's going to make $3.76. It's a $75 stock. So that's what, 19? So it's not cheap based on next year's earnings either, necessarily. So I wouldn't buy more because I don't like the action it's made in the last 2 days. It should be spiking up higher, and it's not. It's actually gotten weaker. When the market's gotten a lot stronger. So that kind of concerns me. And it's real close to the 52-week high. It popped up about a week or so ago. This is where I would be considering taking something off the table. Or you just hold it forever, because it is a good company. H-U-R-N, everybody. H-U-R-N, $1.7 billion company. Okay, before you retire, these are my own. I made these up myself. This is what you need to do before you retire, and hopefully a few years before you retire, not just right as you retire. Decide what you want to do in retirement. What is it you want to do? Whatever the definition of retire in your mind is, you decide what you want to do. Because it's really a mind state of mind. What am I going to do with my time? You can make money. You can not make money. You can continue to work at your career, not work at some other career, pick something else up, do voluntary work. I don't care. But decide what you want to do and be very certain and comfortable in what you want to do. Check what you need as far as money on a monthly basis, and then make sure that's what you have available on a monthly basis. So come up with your budget and make sure it makes sense. Make sure you consider inflation. Make sure you consider everything that you spend. And I'm including vacations and going to dinners. You don't want to be retired and say, I have absolutely no money and I can't do anything. You want to be comfortable. Another thing you might want to do, talk to other people that are retired. See what they say about it. These are not rocket science stuff. These are common sense stuff that you should do because you're preparing yourself for retirement. And that's what I think you should do. Now, talking about housing. Everybody likes to know housing. What were the best? Colorado was the best. Connecticut, the worst home price growth in 2014. So Colorado was the best, up 8.4%. Now, it happens also that Colorado was one of the worst hit during the housing market crisis. But Colorado was the best, followed by Texas and then New York. 7.8% for Texas, 7.6%. Worst, Connecticut, Vermont, and Maryland. Down 2.2% or so. And what is the forecast for this year? Overall, for all the whole market, they're saying it's going to be a 4.8% growth in house prices this year. We'll see. Before we close for the hour, we took a cue from your great interest in the topic of oil, and we're going to have it on our conference this Saturday. Upside and lower oil prices. Remember, the seats are filling up fast. If this Saturday, February 7th, in San Jose at the Hyatt House, just go to investtalk.com to sign up. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial. I thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you next tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.